Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans, chapter 4, and verse 3. And Paul says, "For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." We continue in our series of sermons this evening on the doctrine of justification by faith. And here this morning we considered verse 3 of this chapter, in which Paul is proving the doctrine that he's been preaching in chapter 3 concerning justification, that men are justified by faith alone, apart from and without any works of the law. And he does this in chapter 4 and verse 3 by appealing to the Old Testament scriptures and to the example of Abraham. "For what does the Scripture say?" And then he quotes from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." And then the rest of this chapter is an exposition of that verse from the life of Abraham. And Paul's point here is very clear and simple, that Abraham was justified by believing, by faith alone, without any works of the law. And then we saw that the problem is, as we look more closely at that quotation from Genesis 15 and verse 6, it seems to be saying that faith was Abraham's righteousness. At the end of verse 3, "And Abraham believed God, and it," that is, his believing, "his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness." Now, we cannot deny that that is what it says, and we must admit that at first glance, this is what it appears to mean, that Abraham's faith was reckoned, it was counted, it was given to him as his righteousness. And then we see the same verse either quoted or paraphrased at the end of verse 5, "His faith is reckoned as righteousness," and then again down at the end of verse 9, "Faith," now he says very explicitly, "faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness." And many have understood it to mean this, that faith, our faith, is our righteousness. Faith is equated with righteousness. Faith is itself what justifies us. And as one of the men said to me this afternoon in a discussion, if this is true, that our faith is our righteousness, then why do we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ? The question is, what is the righteousness by which we are justified and declared righteous before God? Is our righteousness our faith, or is our righteousness found outside of ourselves in another, in the person and work of Jesus Christ? And what we did this morning was we said that we must look at other scriptures that deal with this subject. We should never look at one verse of the Bible and understand that one verse in a way that contradicts other clear passages of the Scripture. This is the way many errors have come into the history of the church. Men have taken one verse and they interpret that verse in a way that contradicts other verses of Scripture. So what we are learning here today is a lesson in biblical interpretation, what is called hermeneutics. How do we study the Bible to have a right interpretation of it? And the way we're dealing with this verse is the verse speaks of righteousness and it speaks of faith. And what we did this morning is we looked at righteousness. And we found three reasons why our faith could not be that righteousness. Because the righteousness that justifies us is, in the first place, called the righteousness of God. The righteousness that justifies is, second, the righteousness of Christ. And the righteousness that justifies is a right, it must be a righteousness that fulfills all the demands of God's law. And based on those three reasons, our faith cannot possibly be that righteousness that justifies. Now tonight we're going to be looking at faith, and we're going to see reasons why our faith cannot be that righteousness that justifies. In the first place, tonight, a reason why faith cannot be our righteousness is that faith cannot be a work by which men boast before God. Faith cannot be a work by which men boast before God. Now, if faith were our righteousness, then that faith would be a good work by which we are justified, and a good work by which we could boast before God. And both of those contradict what Paul has been teaching in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, faith and works are always opposed to one another. They can never be together in justification. We may think of an impregnable wall. On one side of the wall we have works. On the other side of the wall we have faith. And the two can never be mixed together in justification. So faith cannot be a good work. That's what Paul's been saying over and over again. He summarized his teaching back there in chapter 3 and verse 28. He says, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from, without any works of the law." So faith cannot be our righteousness, because faith cannot be a good work by which we are justified. And then in addition to this, if faith were our righteousness, we would have something to boast in before God. But Paul has explicitly denied that there can be any boasting before God in justification. That's what he says in the beginning of verse 27. He says, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded." This is what God's way of justification by faith has done. It has excluded, shut out all boasting among men. Faith destroys human boasting, as we will see. So faith cannot be our righteousness, because then we would have something to boast in, and all such boasting is impossible before God. So the first reason tonight why faith cannot be our righteousness is because faith cannot be a work by which men boast before God. But then we come, more importantly, to our second reason tonight why faith cannot be our righteousness, and it is that faith is the means by which we receive Christ and all of His merits. Faith is the means by which we receive Christ and all of His merits. Here we consider what faith really is, the nature of faith. Faith, we say, is the means. It is the instrument by which we receive the virtue and the merits of Jesus Christ. In His life and death, Jesus accomplished all that was needed for our salvation. He so pleased His Heavenly Father in all of His obedience, and He so brought honor to God the Father in His life and death upon the cross, that Jesus has accrued an infinite reservoir of all grace, mercy, and righteousness, and everything needed for the salvation of His people for time and into eternity. "It is finished," Jesus said from the cross. And Paul said, "In Him, in Christ, you are made complete." Everything that we need is found in Christ. But the question is, how does all that belong to Christ become ours for our salvation? How does all the merit, the virtue, the blessings of Christ, and especially in our concern tonight, his righteousness, how do all of these things, how are they communicated to us? How do we come into possession of all that belongs to Christ? The answer is through faith. Faith is the means. Faith is the instrument that God has appointed to communicate to us all the merit of Christ, including his righteousness for our justification. Now, faith has no merit in itself, because faith is complete dependence, reliance, and trust in Christ. Faith has no strength in itself. Faith comes with no value in itself. Faith brings nothing. Faith offers nothing. Faith is an abandonment. It is an abandonment of ourselves and anything that we can do, and it is a complete reliance upon Jesus. Faith comes empty, and faith comes bankrupt. And faith only receives what Jesus has in himself. Now, faith is likened to looking in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Look unto me, and be saved all the ends of the earth. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 speaks of our faith as fixing our eyes upon Jesus. So faith is likened to a looking. And we can turn to a passage to see this in the book of Numbers chapter 21. Back in the book of Numbers chapter 21. And this is the incident when the Lord sent the fiery serpents among the Israelites, and they were bitten, and many of them died from the fiery serpents. Moses interceded for the people. The Lord told Moses what to do for them for their cure. And we read in verse 8 and 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. So the Lord told Moses to set this serpent upon a pole. And the Lord promised at the end of verse 8 that it will come about that when anyone is bitten, everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live. And that's what happened in verse 9. Everyone who was bitten by the serpents, everyone who looked, he was cured of the serpent's poison. That's all he had to do was look. To lift up his eyes, to look at the serpent that was lifted up, and then he was healed. Now, Jesus referred to this event in John chapter 3 when he spoke to Nicodemus, and Jesus equated this looking to faith. He said there, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. So as the Israelites looked to the serpent, they had life. So now, as we believe in the Lord Jesus, we have life. Believing is a looking to Christ, a look of dependence, a look of need to him. So we have a man here in Numbers chapter 21 in this event among the Israelites. The man has been bitten by the fiery serpent. The poisonous venom is pulsing through his veins and his entire body. The terrible sickness has come over him. He lies prostrate. He lies prostrate on the scorching desert sand. The sun beats down upon him. The situation is desperate. He is drawing quickly near to death. He has no strength in himself to do anything. He cannot perform anything. He cannot move his limbs. He is helpless. And he is near death. He cannot move. But one thing he can still do is he can look. And he looks to the serpent. And because of the power that God placed in that serpent, the power came from God and healed him of his serpent bite. It was not his look that healed him. It was the power that God put into that serpent to which he looked. His look had no strength in it. His look had no power in it. Looking came with nothing. Looking had nothing in it to offer. And the poorest of men could look, and by looking alone they would be healed. Looking had no strength or power or virtue or merit in it. It was simply a look of dependence and need and trust. And so it is when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can turn to the passage in John's Gospel, John chapter 3, where Jesus refers to this event. John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And Jesus says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," he means to the cross, "that whoever believes may in him have eternal life." So back in Numbers chapter 21, it was whoever looked to the serpent, he would live. Here it is whoever believes in the Lord Jesus, he shall have eternal life. So looking is a picture of believing. And the Israelites were healed by looking. And sinners can be healed of sin by believing in Christ as he was lifted up upon the cross. It is not our believing that saves us, just like it was not their look. It is the cross, it is Christ and his cross that saves us from our sin. Christ is the object of our believing. That's who we look to. We say that he is the object of our faith. He is the one we look to. Faith must have an object. They look to the serpent. We believe. We look to Jesus Christ. And we must look to him for saving faith. That's what he says there in verse 15. Whoever believes may in him have eternal life. It's more clear in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. So when we speak of faith and believing, we are not speaking here of a vague, sentimental, or religious idea that we believe in some kind of a divine, vague divine being. We are not speaking here that we believe in someone whom we call Jesus and we define who he is as Jesus. What we are saying is we believe in him. We believe in Jesus as he is given to us in the Scriptures. It must be Jesus as he reveals himself in the Scriptures. It is believing in him that alone saves us. Believing, faith, it is the means by which we receive the merits of Christ for our justification. Now, if you were asked How are you saved? And you answered, because I believe. That would not be a correct answer. The correct answer would be, because of Christ and all that He has done for me. How am I saved? I am saved by Christ and what He has done for me. Now, if you were asked, how did Christ and all that He has done become yours? And then you said, because I believe, because I have faith in Him, that would be the correct answer, because faith is the means by which the merit of Christ becomes ours. Jesus also likened faith to coming to Him. We see this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so here Jesus likens faith to coming to Him in trust and reliance and confidence in Him. Now Jesus here is preaching the gospel. He knows full well who He is preaching to. He is preaching to sinners. They are unworthy and wretched sinners. And He is saying to them, come to me. He is saying, come to me in all the wretchedness and in all the unworthiness of you being a sinner. Come to me with all the stains of your sin. Come to me with all the corruption, with all the guilt and the shame of your sin. Come to me just as you are, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, as the hymn writer says. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will heal you. Come to me with nothing, and I will give you everything that you need. Come to me in your poverty, and I will give you riches. Come to me in your unrighteousness, and I will give you my unrighteousness for you to be justified. Jesus does not say, prepare your good works, gather up all your human efforts, and then come to me. He does not say, reform yourself and improve yourself and make yourself good enough, and then when you are fully ready and fully prepared, then come to me. No. Jesus does not say that. Because our coming to Him is a coming to Him in our poverty, in our bankruptcy, in our wretchedness, with nothing in our hands do we come. We come in complete dependence and trust in Him and all that He has. So faith only receives from Jesus. Faith brings nothing. Faith only is the means by which the person of Christ and His merit comes into our possession. We may say it this way, as the Bible also teaches, that faith unites us to Christ. And once we are united to Christ, then everything that belongs to Him becomes ours as well. We receive what He has. Now, when we say that faith has no merit, we do not mean that faith is not pleasing to God, because faith is most pleasing to Him. And the reason why faith is most pleasing to Him is because faith abandons all human confidence and trust in ourselves. And faith puts all confidence and trust in Him, which exalts Him and honors Him. In other words, faith humbles us, and faith exalts and honors Christ. And God is so well pleased with faith that He has made faith the means and the instrument by which He communicates to us the merit, the virtue, the righteousness of Christ. Now we can see this in a couple of passages. We'll turn to the Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. What faith does for us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We are studying what faith does as it brings to us Christ and His merit and His righteousness. Paul says in verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. We see what he says in the middle of the verse. He says, Christ lives in me. A most astonishing statement. Christ, who is in heaven, he now lives in us. A most amazing statement, but it is true for every believer. And we know from other scriptures that Christ lives in believers by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But how does this come about, that Christ lives in us? The answer is by faith in the rest of the verse. He says, and the life, Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So it is faith that brings the Son of God to us. Faith unites us to Christ, and faith brings Christ to live within us. And when he lives in us, he comes with all the virtue and the merit that belongs to him for our salvation. Another passage in the same regard is in the book of Ephesians. We'll turn over to the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. And verse 17. Paul says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Once again, Christ lives in us. He dwells within us. And he does so through the means or the instrument of faith. Christ dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. He takes up his residence within us. He makes his abode in us, but it takes place through the means or the instrument of faith. Faith unites us to him. Faith brings Christ to us and all that belongs to him. And when Christ comes to dwell within us, he does not come empty-handed. He does not come and dwell within us with poverty. He comes to live and dwell within us with all of the eternal riches and the merit and the perfect righteousness that belongs to him. In other words, we come into possession of Christ and all that he has through faith. The Son of God, the Savior, lives within us through faith. We come to him with poverty, yes. He comes to us with riches and treasures. And this is what faith does. Faith is the means that brings Jesus to us and all that he has, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith, the means, the instrument. So we see here, through faith. This is the language of the New Testament when it speaks of faith as the means or the instrument. We want to see this now back in Romans chapter 3. We'll turn back to the passage which is our concern tonight. And the particular concern of Paul in this passage is the righteousness of Christ for our justification. And we want to see the New Testament's language of faith as the means or the instrument by which this comes to us. We see in verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. When he says through faith, he means faith is the means, it is the instrument by which we receive the righteousness of God in Christ for our justification. Now, when I speak of the means or the instrument, I am speaking of the empty hand of faith. We come with an empty hand that has no righteousness in it. But the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ is placed into our empty hand. Faith is the means, the instrument. Faith is the empty hand that receives His righteousness. How do we receive the righteousness of God? The answer is through faith. And we can see very clearly here in verse 22 that faith and righteousness are two very distinct things. Faith cannot be our righteousness. Faith is the means by which we receive the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So faith cannot be our righteousness. We see the same thing in the beginning of verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. Through faith means faith is the means by which we receive the benefits of the blood of Christ as the propitiation for our sin. We look again. We've seen through faith two times. Now we look at verse 28. And he says, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. And then again in verse 30, we see faith mentioned twice, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. So we have these phrases, by faith, through faith. They really mean essentially the same thing. This is the New Testament's language to tell us that faith is the means, the instrument of receiving the righteousness of Christ. So beginning in verse 21 in this chapter and down through the end of the chapter, the righteousness of God includes the cross of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. And that righteousness is what we call the grounds or the reason for our justification. God justifies us because of the righteousness of Christ. God justifies on the grounds of the righteousness of Christ. Christ is the object of our faith that we look to. And our faith is only the bankrupt means, the empty means by which we receive the righteousness of God. And God gives it to us, He imputes it to us, and through faith, by faith, as the instrument, we receive that righteousness, and then God justifies us and declares us righteous. This is the language that is used everywhere in regard to justification in the New Testament. If faith was our righteousness, if faith were the ground of our justification, then we would expect a phrase like this, on account of faith, or because of faith. But there is no such phrase ever found in the New Testament. It is always through faith, by faith. Faith is only the instrument to receive Christ's righteousness. One other passage that we'll look at real quickly, this is in Philippians chapter 3. And we read this earlier. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And Paul says that his desire is that he may be found in Him, in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So Paul has spoken of all of his past as a Pharisee and his zeal for the law of God. And at one time he thought that he had a righteousness that was based on that law. But then when he met Christ Then he found out that his former righteousness was only filthy rags, and Christ alone had true righteousness, and so he desires to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own that he had derived from the law, which was a false righteousness, which could never save. But that which is through faith, that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, the righteousness of God on the basis of faith. So faith and righteousness, once again, very clearly distinct from one another. And faith is the means by which we receive His righteousness. So now we return back to Romans chapter 4. And we have sufficiently proven that our faith cannot be our righteousness. This morning, we proved it by studying the righteousness that justifies. This evening, we just proved it by studying our faith. Our faith, as we described it, in its dependence, its need, cannot be the righteousness that justifies us. So we've shown what the statement cannot mean. Now we want to show what it does mean. What is the best way for us to understand this quotation from Genesis 15 and verse 6, verse 6 in Genesis 15, here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And then again we see a very similar phrase down in the end of verse 9. Faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. So two things we say tonight. The first is, in regard to the translation, that the little word that is translated as, in our New American Standards, at the end of both of those verses, we see it, it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and then again in verse 9, faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. That little word as is not a good translation of the word here. It is better translated, it should be translated for, or unto, or resulting in. So that the end of verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. It was reckoned to him unto righteousness, with a view toward righteousness, in order or for the result of righteousness. The word as is that little Greek preposition, eis, and many commentators agree it should be translated here for or unto. That's the usual way it's translated in other verses of the New Testament, and most English Bibles translate it for or unto. That's the way it's translated in the King James Bible, in the New King James Bible, and the American Standard Version, which is the version that the New American Standard came from, the American Standard translates it that way as well. For or unto in those other versions. And the difference is this, that when we have the word as, it seems to imply an equality between faith and righteousness. Faith is counted as righteousness, as if faith and righteousness were one and the same thing. But when we use the word for, it does not carry that sense of equality. It rather speaks of the purpose, or the result, or the end that faith was for. So that faith is counted as that which results in, or for the purpose of righteousness. So it relieves us somewhat of that equality that seems to be implied by that little word as. Now this same preposition eis, we can see it used, translated differently, if we turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Paul says, "For with the heart man believes resulting in righteousness. There's our little word, eis, resulting in. And then, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in, the same word again, resulting in righteousness. So two times, that preposition eis is used in this verse, and both times it is translated resulting in. And the first time it's used in reference to man's faith and his receiving righteousness. In the beginning of the verse, for with the heart man believes, and this is the result of his believing righteousness. For with the heart man believes, and this is what he receives, his righteousness. His righteousness. Result, resulting in righteousness. So, here we have the same word that's used back in Romans chapter 4 in the verses that we've been considering. And we can go back now to Romans chapter 4. And if we look at the end of verse 3, now we can translate this verse in the same way as the word was translated in Romans chapter 10. And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him, resulting in righteousness. He believed God. It was reckoned to him, resulting in his righteousness. In other words, this was the goal and the purpose of faith, resulting in his righteousness. So it helps to relieve us of that equality between faith and righteousness, which is implied by the word as. Now, that's helpful, but it doesn't completely remove the difficulty in the verse, because it still is saying that faith is that which is reckoned, or faith is that which is counted for or resulting in righteousness. More helpful for us now tonight is to remember what we have said about faith. Faith is our looking to Jesus. He is the object of our faith. And faith receives Christ and all of his merit and virtue, including his righteousness. By faith, Christ comes to dwell within us. By faith, through faith, Christ lives in us. And Christ comes with all that he is as the Savior. And so by faith we come into possession of Christ and all that he is as our Savior, including our righteousness. That's what happened to Abraham. Abraham received the promise of the Savior and he believed God. And it, his faith, but it was his faith that was looking to the Savior. And it was his faith that was receiving in its contents all that belongs to the Savior of righteousness. It was that faith by which that was reckoned to him as righteousness. The same thing happens with us. We believe in the Lord Jesus. And in that faith, our faith contains Christ. We may say our faith, the content of our faith is Christ. And all of his righteousness, and based upon that faith, which contains Christ, God reckons it to us as righteousness. So faith here is not just an act, it is not faith by itself, but it is faith that contains Christ and all of his merit. And so the verse at the end of verse 3, we could read it this way. Abraham believed God, and it, his believing which contained the righteousness of Christ, was reckoned to him for righteousness. So it was not his faith by itself alone, but it was his faith that contained the righteousness of Christ, which was reckoned to him as righteousness. So the end result is to understand that Christ is still, his righteousness is still the ground by which we are justified. And faith is the means by which his righteousness is brought to us by which we receive it. We could say the same thing down at the end of verse 9. Faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. We could paraphrase it, faith and all that faith contains and all that faith brings to us of the righteousness of Christ. It was that faith which contains Christ that was counted or reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. The commentator Lenski writes this: God reckons faith with its content as righteousness for him who believes. The content of his faith is Christ, his ransom, and his merit. Charles Hodge writes this. He said, it is very common to understand faith here to include its object, that is, the righteousness of Christ, so that it is not faith considered as an act which is imputed, but faith considered as including the merit which it apprehends and appropriates. And a commentator by the name of Frederick Godet, he writes this: the infinite work of faith lies in its object. To believe, therefore, is to lay hold of perfection. And it is not surprising that laying hold of perfection, it should be reckoned by God as righteousness. So it is faith that contains Christ and all that he has for our righteousness that is reckoned as righteousness. So now we may understand this quote from Genesis 15 and verse 6 in a way that is consistent with the rest of the scriptures concerning righteousness and faith and the relationship between them. That's the goal that we've been moving toward this entire day. So we summarize what we have learned: that we ourselves, as sinners, we are under condemnation. We have no righteousness in ourselves. We are poor. We are impoverished. We are wretched. In terms of righteousness, we are bankrupt and empty. But Jesus has all righteousness. And he has infinite, eternal treasures of righteousness that belong to him by his perfect life and death. And he invites us to come. In all of our bankruptcy and emptiness, he says, look to me. Come to me. Come with nothing in your hands. Come with the faith of dependence and trust and confidence. And I will give you my perfect righteousness, by which you will be able to stand before my heavenly Father, and he will justify you in his courtroom in heaven. Christ is the one we look to as the object of our faith. Faith is only the means by which we come into possession of his righteousness. But his righteousness is the only grounds and the only reason for God to be able to declare us righteous in his sight. What an amazing and astonishing way of salvation for us guilty sinners. We have nothing, but by a look of faith, we may have everything from the Lord Jesus. Let me close tonight and say this: that this is the gospel that has saved us. And this is the gospel that we should share with our fellow man in this world. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And this is the gospel of salvation. This is God's way of saving sinners. When men think of the way of salvation, what do they naturally think of? That we must do something good. We must be better. We must strive. We must obey God's commands more. We must do something from ourselves. And they say it is too much human effort And we cannot have anything to do with that Christian gospel. But it is a lie, a great lie of Satan, to hide the glory of the gospel from men. But the gospel that we can offer to sinners is that God has a way of justification that is based not upon what we do, but what He has done in His beloved Son Christ. And we may come with all of our wretchedness. We may come with all of our sin and simply look to Him and be saved by all that He has. We may receive the riches of His righteousness, because God is the one who justifies the ungodly. Look unto me and be saved, says the Lord Jesus. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father and God in heaven, thank you for the Word of God and the truth that we may find in it. And thank you, our Father, for the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, of all that He has done in His life and in His death, for a perfect righteousness that He so freely gives to all who look to Him and believe. Lord Jesus, help us to love You more. Help us to walk in all of Your ways, in thankful obedience, in cheerful obedience to You, because of all that You have done to rescue us from our sins. Bless Your Word to us now today, and be at work with it in all of our hearts. And we thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen.